You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, good morning, Westside Church. It's great to be with everybody. Last week, I was up in Santa Clarita preaching their kickoff service for them, and they've asked us, they were looking for a new minister, and they weren't asking me to be there, but they did ask me to come preach, and CJ's going to go up in February. We're helping. They're a sister church of ours, so he'll be up there helping them in February. I said I'd help in January, and then, wow, what a crazy week last week was, right? Man, no one could have expected it. Our dear brother Michael, we found out last Sunday morning, God took him back to be with him, and our hearts are so together with you, Tracy, and the Keys family, Kevin, Savannah, your son Matthew, I know, left yesterday. Michael, what, I think is the only guy here in the church who was actually part of the LA church before I was. At least I remember when I showed up, I saw Michael and Tracy living in the south of LA, just such faithful disciples. Thanks, CJ, for helping guide our group through just really the difficulty. And at this time, I do want to make sure I dismiss our teens. They're going to have a special lesson, so let's get up, teens. We have a little class for you right now. CJ, thank you for last week, and let's head out. Teens, we have a really great class to inspire you for the new year. You know, we met on Friday with the family, the Keys family. We're preparing, have a memorial. Hopefully it'll be early February. The details will be forthcoming on those, on that memorial, so we'll let the whole congregation know. As CJ mentioned, the theme for 2025 for the Westside Church is led by the Spirit, right? Led by the Spirit. Last year it was focused on Jesus, and this year it's led by the Spirit. We do want to listen to God and join Him in the work that He is doing in our communities. But this makes us ask some tough questions as we face unprecedented fires and tragedy here on the West Side. Like, exactly what is going on in our communities? What is God up to? And you've seen the pictures. You've seen the devastation. We've seen these images. It's very difficult. The beautiful Palisades, parts of Malibu, it's heart-wrenching. Gratefully, no one in our local congregation or throughout our fellowship of different churches in the LA area have been injured by the fires. But we know that there is a current death toll all throughout LA. I think 16 is the current death toll from the fires. We know damage is massive, and it's going to take years to recover. We do know like four families from Lifeway lost their homes. Our dear friends Leo and Noel, who attend Westside, their home in Malibu as well, was lost. We know that the Lems lost their business, right? They lost the beauty salon that they run as their sole form of income, and that was in the Palisades. So we definitely see the needs. We have been partnering with Hope Worldwide. We've been on some calls with them. We are establishing a relief, disaster relief committee, of which I know George Yang will be a point guy for that. And there are some funds coming in from all over the world to help. And we will be a part of helping administer that and meet the needs and volunteering. And so there is a lot going on, I know. And we ask the question oftentimes, why? Why might this be happening? I don't know if you're getting calls from your friends. Most of us probably who live in LA, I'm getting calls from people all over the world. I had one minister call me, and then he texted me. He says, you know, I can't help but think maybe this is happening as God, like as a discipline for how worldly LA is. And I said, bro, the whole world is worldly. And then I reminded him of this verse. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Natural calamities happen to all of us. God set the world in order, and we are a part of this system where God allows the natural course of events to occur. And yes, the sun rises and it will melt butter, but it'll harden damp clay, just as it hardened Pharaoh's heart when God's disciplines came, but it softened others. And it really matters the condition of our heart as we face these kinds of difficulties. Will we be softened to look towards God? Will we lament and mourn with those who mourn? And will we rejoice with those who rejoice? Church, God is calling us at this time to feel the pain of our communities, to not ignore it. It'd be real easy to drive where you just don't see or just turn the TV off, which I do recommend. Take some breaks from watching the news, right? They say that's healthy. But it matters the condition of our heart, and we don't want to just avoid seeing the pain. We want to embrace it. We want to participate in healing. We want to be a part of solutions to bring a message of hope to people. And so as a congregation, we decided to go through the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and 6 and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, to fit into our theme of led by the Spirit. Of course, the Sermon on the Mount, maybe the most spiritual message ever in the scriptures, right? It's the embodiment of what this new reorienting of values is. And CJ did a tremendous job last week talking about our whole view of happiness has to be reevaluated. And Jesus came to bring a reorienting of our values. As we do that, and as we serve, and as we care, and as we lament, we together become a city on a hill. We're going to continue in Matthew chapter 5. If you want to turn there, I'm going to put it up on the screen in a moment. But in the middle of it all, we get to be a light in a dark world. And the world is dark. Let me show you just a few statistics on that. I don't know if you realize this, but suicide and murder are the number two causes of death among youth in America up to age 24. Right? Suicide and murder. Sadly, the number one cause of death among young people is accidents. And most of those accidents are drug overdoses. The national OD death rate increased 255% from 2000 to 2019. This is going on in our culture. Is LA a mess in many ways spiritually? Yes. But the whole world needs God. Here's a sad statistic I just saw in a recent survey. There's a porn epidemic going on. We know that. We got to be vigilant. And teens and young adults say, here's the statistic. Not recycling in the mindset of most teens and young adults. Not recycling. Now, that's you should recycle. It's important. But to them, it's way more damaging to not recycle than it is to view porn. Like viewing porn, people just don't think is even wrong anymore. It's joked about and it destroys relationships. It's a sexual sin that hurts our souls. Jesus said, and the scriptures teach, when we sin sexually, we sin against ourselves. We damage ourselves and we damage people. There's a darkness in the world that God is being called to change. And we get to be a city on a hill, a light, a change agent for God. In the middle of what we're seeing around the world, God is calling you to something very special. And as we read the text from Matthew chapter 5, we come upon these metaphors. I'm sure you've read these metaphors. They are powerful metaphors. And we want to dig in and apply them to our lives and live them out as we consider what's going on all around us. So we're going to read, but I want to pray before we do that. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we know that the world is lost. And we know that our city is feeling great pain from the tragedies. We know, God, that you allow to the righteous and the unrighteous. It's our hearts. It's how we respond that matters. Be with us now, God, that we would be a city on a hill as a West Side community, that we'd be salt and light to change our culture, to give away your message of love. Be with this lesson. Be with each of our hearts at this time. Be with all those affected by this devastation in LA. May it end quicker than we thought, but help us to not stop being a light to a dark world. Be with us now, we ask, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's read together Matthew chapter 5. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. How many of us have ever read this passage before? All right, most of us, right? This is a classic metaphor that Jesus brings in. And we're going to see that this is a metaphor that God had revealed to Israel, even in the book of Isaiah. These concepts had been planted in the minds of men and women of God. And Jesus brings them out here in this Sermon on the Mount as he had reoriented our understanding of what happiness is. And then he says, you have a purpose in your life. The salt, you are the salt of the earth. Now, we've had a couple sermons this year on that. We had a guest speaker, Paris, speak about it. I know CJ did a lesson at Midweek a little bit about this. And the idea of the meaning of salt, the scriptures are filled with a lot of meaning there. I'm not going to get into all of them today, but one of the main ones comes from Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. It says, season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of the grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. So what does this mean? He's saying that the offerings to God are not acceptable without, of course, the preserving and purifying power of salt. And in Arabic culture and language, actually, salt symbolized and even meant in the Arabic language, it even meant a compact or an enduring covenant. So what is he saying? He's saying that if you're the salt of the earth, you're God's enduring covenant. You make the world acceptable to God. He's talking to his disciples. He says, you are the salt. You make the world acceptable. Do you realize how valuable you are? You are so valuable. Sitting here today, you are needed. You are valuable. You are the salt of the earth. You have a role to play in changing the world and making it acceptable to God. So salt does a lot of things. We use it ourselves, of course. I probably use it too much. You know, my doctor says you gotta go a little bit low on the sodium, right? Keep the cholesterol down, right? The blood pressure, make sure you're doing okay. But salt in ancient times, even in current times, is definitely used for these three reasons and some more. But one of them is preserving. Like we read, it really does make things acceptable. It preserves, it endures. And of course, they used it. They didn't have refrigeration back then. So it preserves the culture. Now, as disciples of Jesus, we are to preserve one another's faith. How do we do that? Part of the way we do that is we care for each other. We get involved in each other's life. We have this thing in our ministry we call mentoring, or we call it discipling, training. We care for one another. We help each other get stronger. When we're going through something, we call a spiritual brother or sister and say, here's what I need help with. CJ and I, we talk about the things we are going through. We're going through a book together on leadership so we can grow as leaders to administer God's grace in an excellent way. I'm regularly in conversation with Steve and Jackie Marici, who lead our South Bay church. Karen and I meet with them a lot. We get input from them. We bond with them. We connect with other church leaders throughout the United States, getting input and wisdom from them. The truth of the matter is I get a lot of discipling from people younger than me, right? The college students may not know it, but I'm paying attention, right? The young singles, I'm paying attention. It doesn't matter what age you are. You need to be preserved in your faith and strengthened. My son Kyle, he's 27. He pretty much tells me what to do whenever we hang around, right? Our kids, they know us. They have our number. We should listen, right? We should pay attention. We preserve one another. We need that as a congregation. You know, salt also purifies. I want to just say there's a lot of areas of purity we need work on, but our motives are very important. Why do you do what you do? We're going to talk about that a little bit more as we continue in today's lesson. I do remember myself when I first started preaching. I've told this story many times. If you get up to preach in front of people and you're thinking about how you're going to do, you usually don't do so well. And I told this funny story about the first time I preached in front of a church leader. It was a big group. I was so nervous about how I would do. My mouth just like dried up and I couldn't even talk. I was too worried about how I would do instead of the message. And so I could barely speak. And when our motives aren't to give love, if our motives are not love and generosity and helping others, a lot of times it creates unfortunate events in our life. You know, last thing is salt does season. You are the seasoning of the world, right? You're the seasoning. What does that mean? You know, salt mixes in, right? It mixes into your food. It makes it come alive. It gives it the flavor that God wants. You are to give the world the flavor that God wants it to have. It's got to mix in. That means you got to engage into your community, your environment, your work environment, your school environment, your family environment. You got to mix in. And do you flavor that environment? Over the holidays, we have a tradition on Christmas Eve, where we have pozole, that delicious soup with some, you know, pork or chicken, and the corn in there, the matzah in there. It's just awesome, right? So delicious. But what makes it especially delicious is when you put that New Mexico red chili in there and with a little salt, and then bang! It's like Flavor Town, right? It's Flavor Town right there, right? Guy Fieri, Flavor Town. You are to be the one that brings Flavor Town to the community that you're in, a flavor and aroma of Christ. We are the salt of the earth. Now, I want to keep moving. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Do you see that? You don't put it under a bowl. A city on a hill is not hidden. You take a light and you put it up on a stand. It gets put up so people can see it. Now look at the text. It says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. Sometimes in our false humility, we just don't want anyone to see what we're doing. Well, sometimes we're just not doing that much. Or if we are doing something, we want people to see it so they give credit to us. But in the text, it says, so that they will praise who? Your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world, church. You are a light. And just as salt was a covenant, so light in many ways is a covenant. And we find in the book of Isaiah in chapter 42, this text. And in the early part of chapter 42, it's talking about my servant. He's talking about Jesus will come to bring this light. He says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, and I will keep you and make you to be a covenant, right? A salt, so to speak, for the people and a light for the Gentiles. See, God, in the prophecy in Isaiah, talked about Jesus would be this covenant and this light. And so when Jesus brings that into Matthew chapter 5, he's just reiterating the message that he knew was spoken about him. And as followers of his, he knew his disciples would then carry the same message and same mission to be the salt and the light of the world. Isn't that cool that Jesus, really, he wasn't the first to come up with that idea, although we read it in the book of Matthew. We see that great sermon, but he had been reading his Bible, right? He knew the scriptures inside and out, and we have the same mission. And I like this, of course. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the book of John, sometimes that word is translated, the darkness has not understood it. But most English translations say the darkness has not overcome it. I like that one. I think both are partly true, right? The darkness has not understood the light. But it's great that the darkness has not overcome the light. And as the city is burning, the darkness does not overcome the light of hope and change and faith and goodness. I want to urge all of us to stay faithful, to recognize that God has an incredible plan to open eyes, to see his presence, to understand his presence. We do know that the darkness is trying to reach into society and take away our understanding of truth, right? The truth, the message of God, is in a sense a covenant. It's a message of guidance for each of us. He says, in the beginning of all things in the book of Genesis, there was darkness hovering over the earth, right? Over the waters, it says. And he said, let there be light. His word spoke light. His word brought truth. Words matter. Truth matters. Your message matters. What comes out of your mouth matters. It makes a difference. You are the light and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen? There's some scary things going on in our culture. Sadly, moral absolute truth is getting attacked quite heavily. There is a statistic that says that only 36% of evangelical, what we call born-again believers, only 36% agree that there are moral absolutes, right? That's an attack on our mindset of what is right and what is wrong, to make us think, well, everything's just relative. Now, here's a really interesting statistic from a survey that was done this is really a scary statistic, but this is a survey about sexual morality in our culture today. This is just one little piece of it. It was put on by the Pew Research Center. And I don't know if you can see it from where you're at, but the question that was asked, is it okay to have sex between unmarried adults if they're in a committed relationship. Now, we know the scriptures teach that moral, God's stance is that God created, you know, intimacy and sexuality for procreation, for God's blessing within marriage. It's designed to be confined within marriage. And in the context of marriage, it's beautiful. But our culture and the media just constantly attacks us with a false teaching. What is that? The false teaching is, no, it's fine if you're committed to each other. So these Christians were asked, and then non-Christians were asked, what do you think? Well, interestingly, according to the statistics, 67 or 68% of people, you know, it says 33% says always okay if you're a Christian, 24% sometimes, and 10% said rarely. But essentially, that's 68% of people who call themselves Christians thinks, I don't really need to follow the Bible. I don't really need to hold to it. Only if I feel like it. That's an attack on the truth. And it's just painful to see. Of course, then they ask, okay, what about casual sex between consenting adults? Just casual sex. What's really scary is people that call themselves Christians even think that's okay. You shouldn't, but whatever, if you have to, it's fine. No. Right, very, very few, only 33% said, yeah, it's just not okay. So where's the truth? Where's the light? Let me tell you guys, there is an attack on the culture of society against truth. Ephesians 5 is very, very clear. Among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. We know this is a great challenge, and we know there's grace and hope, and there's a way to change, and we even have an incredible Thursday night men's thing we're putting on to really help people grow through this and hold to the truth of God. But we got to see that, church, we are the light. We are the light that shines in this darkness. We can't let the darkness overcome us. We cannot let that happen. I love the fact that we're teaching, how do you actually change? I love this verse, Acts 2:38. We, most of us know that one. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the message that Peter preached on the day the church started. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is a message of truth and hope. This is unlocking the doors to the kingdom of God. This is an opportunity to live the life God intends for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and change us from the inside out. It's the simplest and most straightforward explanation for how to be saved, and we must hold up that truth day in and day out. Amen, church? Day in and day out. That's a truth that we can't give up on. And you know, in 2024, God preached that message to many of us, and we've seen many new souls added to the church. I know a lot of our campus is not back yet, but I know personally a number of my dear friends made the decision to repent and be baptized in 2024. And I commend you for that. Amen, church. I hope you've seen it. We've seen a lot of new souls added to the kingdom. God did some miracles last year. So I want to ask, if you got baptized in 2024, please stand up. Please stand up. If you got baptized in 2024, I know there's a number of you out there. Yes. Yes. Please stand up. I know there are far more that did in our congregation. See you back there, Hunter. That's a message. That's a message of truth that God has brought to us, and we got to hold that truth out. How do you get to the point where you can respond to that? You got to hear the word of God. Right? You've got to hear it. And so, church, part of us being a light is we are a light by bringing the truth to one another, both collectively as you're sitting here in the congregation, but also individually. You know, Jesus goes on and says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light, and if you follow me, you don't walk in darkness. So his example was a light. So the question a lot of us need to ask ourselves, is our example a light? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a sports fanatic, and I like watching the college football, and I watch the playoffs. And I don't know how you feel, but I like it when the star quarterback or the coach or one of the defensive player who helped win the game, they ask them, hey, tell us what happened. And the first thing they say is, I want to say, Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. Jesus is the reason. Now, I don't know the lives of these people. All I'm saying is on national TV, Jesus is being spoken. His name is being spoken. Some people might bristle at it. I saw one TV news station edited it out when they replayed it one time. A lot of people don't like that on there, but I like it. How many of us have ever been complimented for doing something good in the workplace? Any of you guys? Most of us. So you were complimented, hey, good job with that project. Good job with what you did in that way or in that class or whatever it is you were doing. The question to ask yourself is, when they want to dialogue with you about how it happened, why did you do it? Do you say, you know, God, Jesus, is a part of my life. He changed my life. Do you bring him into the conversation? This is a great challenge. A lot of us, you know, we see those football players, but we oftentimes maybe don't do it even in an individual way the way we should. You know, we need to set an example. One of the things for the new year is for you to kind of get your plans for the year. Carrie and I, we took time to think about, who are we going to be for 2025? What kind of people do we want to be? We talked about what kind of marriage do we want to have, because we know our relationship with God is first. Our relationship with each other is second. Our relationship with our children is next. And our relationship to the various people God's put in our life come next. How are you doing with your prioritization? We're talking about going through a book together as a married couple because we realize after 30 years, or going on 31 years this February of being married, we want to keep growing and have a great marriage. Your example is a light. We got to work on our example. Husbands and wives, work on your example. In the workplace, your example is a light. But here's one of the challenges that we see in the scripture. If you lose your saltiness, what good is it? If you have light, you can't hide it. The reality is, how does salt lose its saltiness? It really can't. There's different types of salts that he might have been referencing that were used for different uses, for manure piles or for different things, based on their qualities. And maybe some of the aspects of that salt, the different types of nuances of the salt, could rinse away and make it worthless. But, you know, basic table salt that we use to season food, it's either salt or it's not. In other words, if you're the salt and you're a disciple, then you're a disciple or you're not. Right? If you lose your saltiness, then you're not a disciple anymore. And he says, what good is that? God's saying, guys, you need to come alive. You need to really take a hard look at where you're at in your walk. And you don't want to lose your faith. And here's the challenge. It's too easy for people to lose their faith in our culture and to drift, or to even lose their faith that their life can amount to something. And here's the thing. I'm seeing that. I know with men, sometimes men over 40, they lose hope. The dreams haven't come to fruition. And they get depressed. You know, men might act macho, but inside there's a lot of insecurity they might feel. I talked to men, need men. We need that brotherhood. We need that bond. We need to be real with each other. We need each other. You know, the women, they know they need each other on the phone more, talking. Men, a lot of times, we try to do it independent. It doesn't work. And you can lose your hope if you're not careful. Jesus says, don't lose your saltiness. Don't hide the light, right? And then I love how he says here, they put it on its stand, right? Let your light shine. You got to step up. Don't lose your saltiness. Don't lose your sense of purpose. You have gifts. Every one of us here has a gift to share. Every one of us has something to give. Some of us, it's musically, right? We're going to be talking about an incredible concert that we have coming up. I'm so excited about that concert. It's next week. As a church, we're going to be a light, right? A nonprofit group has come in, and they're going to put on an MLA concert. Right? It's an MLK tribute to really bring the community together, to create brotherhood within our community. Of course, that's a message Jesus preached. That's a message that MLK got from Jesus, and then he lived it out in his life. And we celebrate that as a nation. I'm glad we do each year at this time. Next week's our time for doing that. But you guys have gifts. Each of you has some gift. You might think, well, but Steve, I can't come up front and speak in front of the whole group. I'm not good at that. I hate being on the stage. Okay, I know a lot of you do that. Thank you. But maybe you're great one-on-one. Maybe you're great one-on-two. How are you doing with Bible studies? Bringing that light into somebody's individual. Will you clear the space in your life? As a congregation, we pass along the truth one-on-one and collectively. If you are here today for the first time, welcome. We have a message of love and truth that will lead you to change your life. But you got to get into the Bible, and you oftentimes have to do it one-on-one. And it's going to take another person who will hold out that light to you. Hopefully somebody you can connect with and relate to. And church, the calling is all of us to open up time to be the light for one another. Amen? You have something to give. And I want to close out. I like being inspired. And poetry inspires me. And I remember the movie in 1989 called The Dead Poet Society with Robin Williams. Any of you guys see that movie? It was about, you know, poetry inspiring people. And it was a great story. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it. But in the movie, Robin Williams quotes a famous poem by Walt Whitman, written in the late 1800s. And in the poem, it's called O Me, O Life. He says, of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish. So this is Walt Whitman writing a poem in the late 1800s. Sounds like 2025, right? Of cities filled with the foolish. And he goes on in the poem and he talks about the despair. And he's asking, O me, O life, the question, what good amid these, O me, O life? What good is life? Like, the temptation is just to give up. But in the poem, he says, the answer, that you are here, that life exists, and identity, that the powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. The powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. You have a verse. You have a light. You are the salt. You might feel like, Steve, I'm just a tiny little salt shaker. That's okay. You are needed. You know those little Tabasco things they hand out sometimes at restaurants are really little? But it's all you need to get that thing tasting good, right?
That's right.
The powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. Church, we are the salt. Church, we are the light. Even in a small way, God is asking you to continue in being the salt and the light. And collectively, when we do that, we are a city on a hill. We make a change and a difference in this world. Each of us, take a good look inside your soul today. Are we ready to be a light to a city that needs us? Are you ready to give just a little bit of your salt and light that you feel like you have? Whatever gift you have to give, God is asking for you to provide it to the community. You know, it's exciting that we have our Hope chapter here on the West Side. We're going to be serving the homeless shelter nearby, the Safe Sleep Village. But we're also going to be partnering with the YMCA and with some volunteer work. We have people like Newby and Charlotte that you know work for the school district, and Newby's a shelter administrator for Red Cross. We have a lot of us here who are doing things, and more opportunity to serve will develop in the coming months because the world sees the fire right now, but we're going to see the effects of it for years. Let us be a city on a hill. Amen. All right, we're going to have a little bit of time. I want us to have a dialogue, but I want us to use this verse as our communion verse. And that's from 2 Corinthians 5, where it says, for Christ's love compels us. The why we're the salt. The why we're the light is because Christ was that first, right? We are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So what I want us to do is before we take communion, I want you to dialogue just for a couple minutes with the person to your right or your left or right in front or behind you. Answer this question. How can you be the salt and light in 2025? Let's take a couple minutes to discuss that with our neighbors near us. Okay, I know this conversation can go beyond just a couple minutes. So I'm sure probably only one of you got to share so far. But I do want to, for time's sake, I do want to pray. Let's continue the conversation after the services today. Let's go to God in prayer right now, thanking him for his body that he gave to, you know, change our lives and his blood to give us a chance for a new start. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time. We want to be the salt and light and collectively together a city on a hill. Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, for you being the ultimate covenant with us, the message of enduring hope and peace. Thank you for your body given and your blood shed as we take the bread and the fruit of the vine. Help it remind us of you. May we be compelled by your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just listened to the West Side Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.